Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Saturday on WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Okay, hour three. You know the drill. We save the best for last. My man Pete Jensen of NHL Network joining me now on the Wester Hotline. First and foremost, good afternoon, Pete. And thanks for joining me, man. I'm getting you in like 2 out of 3 weeks. I'm feeling good about this. We got some good NHL talk in the afternoon, and I always enjoy having you on, man.
Oh, always great to be on in Buffalo. And definitely during this time of year, I think it's always like significant when you see like that the playoff ratings in your area do well despite the Sabres not being in it. So I know it's one of the best hockey areas of the country, and you know, hopefully those things get back on track. But always good to be on with you, Nate.
Thanks, my friend. We have a lot to talk about. I just think that the playoffs have taken really interesting turns, as it tends to do. I want to start with you, first and foremost, with the Winnipeg and Edmonton series that obviously only goes to four games, and the team that everybody thought was going to win won, right? Well, kind of not really. But the... You know, the two of the three top scorers in the NHL really really made their mark in that series against the Jets. And listen, the Jets are a tough out any way you spin it. How disappointing is it, though, if you're the Oilers, not even getting a win in that series based on the players that you put on the ice and sort of the roster the way it's constructed now? I think a lot of pressure turns on that front office on what the heck you do to get the best player in the world and arguably like the third or fourth best player in the world and Leon Draisaitl, at least offensively. Like, how do you get this to a point where you're winning playoff games and at least winning playoff series? Because one playoff series win in Connor McDavid's career is just as disappointing as having no playoff series appearances from Jack Eichel here in Buffalo.
Right. It's a slight step up, but not by much. I mean, I think like it doesn't get much worse than what the Edmonton Oilers mustered over the past two postseasons, right? They were, you know, the higher seed going into the bubble last year. They were playing Chicago, who arguably didn't even deserve to be in the playoffs in the normal circumstances, and they lost in four games out of a five-game series. And then this year, like, definitely had a much better regular season. And, you know, last year was weird. Like, McDavid and Draisaitl, even though they had 100-point seasons, they were, like, minus players for what that's worth. But this year they were, like, much better at even strength and that type of thing. And but then it was, like, the same story again. I mean, come playoff time, especially when you face a motivated team like Winnipeg that, you know, has had past playoff failures and is a really complete group, I just think they were like so fixed on shutting down or containing those top guys, which they were able to do. And then the rest of the roster outside of that line is like the bottom six in Edmonton has to be probably the worst out of any playoff team this year, maybe one of the worst in the league. Mike Smith is a veteran goalie. He had a great regular season, outperformed expectations, but it's now 2 years in a row that he's faltered in the playoffs. So, and they came into the year with goaltending issues, kind of like Buffalo did, to draw a comparison. So, you know, you're not really that shocked by what happened in the playoffs, but that said, it's just extremely disappointing when you see a player of McDavid's caliber and Draisaitl as well not being able to make their mark in the playoffs, right? Like, you see Crosby and Ovechkin got bounced in the first round, but those guys have done so much damage through the years, you don't even really think twice about it now. But you want to see more out of McDavid as a hockey fan, but the roster flaws in Edmonton with their big contracts makes it very difficult for them to do so.
You know, I wonder if you're the NHL, you know, like, obviously not having Edmonton be a team that you can really highlight well. It's based on where they're located. They're not really like a national team. Like, people on the East Coast aren't talking about Edmonton maybe as much as we probably should be, just because of when they play. The amount of national exposure they get isn't good. And this is a team that features, again, like, two of the best players in the world. Like, if you're the NHL, you've got to be pretty disheartened that the Edmonton Oilers, a team that you're desperately doing what you can to sort of highlight and be a team that you can, you know, highlight it and present in a way to the nation, and not only the nation but in Canada as well. Like, if you're the NHL, how, like, if you're looking at Edmonton, what can they do? Your point about having those two inflated contracts are certainly, especially in a season where you're not really seeing the salary cap grow. Now, we know it's going to grow pretty notably as the new TV deal kicks in after in the 2022 seasons, but as it stands now, there's not a ton of ways for them to get better. They're going to likely lose Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the offseason to UFA status. Yeah. And Mike Smith's probably going to be gone as well in terms of in goal. How does this team get better when you consider they have two contracts that are really going to bloat and really take a big chunk of that team's ability to try to get better?
Well, about their exposure thing, I think, you know, their exposure in the U.S. this year was hurt by them just playing all their games against the Canadian teams.
Yep.
I mean, when you have them playing, if you were having McDavid against Crosby, if you're having McDavid against Eichel, if you're having McDavid against McKinnon, and, you know, Draisaitl against Mikko Rantanen in Colorado, like, those are the type of head-to-head matchups that draw in average fans in America to watch McDavid and see how he performs against some of the best in the game. So, yeah, that will change next year when things go back to the regular divisions. But, yeah, what you mentioned about Nugent Hopkins, it's like, sure, they're freeing up some significant salary there, but they're going to be losing probably their third best player. You
yep.
know, it's like, so who knows if they would even get better from reallocating those funds toward, say, a defenseman or a goaltender. So, I mean, I think there are some decent goalies available on the market. I do know that they will get, hopefully, Oscar Klefbom back. He missed the entire season this year. You know, I think, like, with the way their defense made some strides this year, like, in, you know, Darnell Nurse had a breakout season, I think if you add Klefbom back into that mix, it may make them a little bit better come playoff time. They missed him when the games mattered most. But, yeah, there are no easy answers, kind of like in Buffalo, you know. There's, and, I mean, it definitely seems that McDavid has, I don't know if he has a better attitude than Eichel with all the losing, but he seemed to put a positive spin on the situation considering they got swept. I mean, that was, as much as I said I wasn't surprised by McDavid and Draisaitl getting bounced in the first round, I don't think anybody picked that would be a sweep. And there's always a surprising sweep every year in the NHL, and that was certainly the surprising sweep of the first round this year.
NHL Network's Pete Jensen joining me on the Western Hotline. We're talking the NHL playoffs. Let's talk about the other series that ended up being a sweep. I mean, maybe not as surprising as the Edmonton series, but Colorado in four games over the St. Louis Blues. Where are you with the Blues and their outlook? Like, obviously, they've got a Stanley Cup in their back pocket this decade and really over the the previous 3 years. But where do you sit with them in their future? They're another team that's aging, especially in their defensive group and along their forward group. Where does that team go from here after a sweep in the first round to, I think, the eventual Stanley Cup champion? So I want to be careful on saying, like, they're in a tough spot now after the sweep, and, like, they've got to look inward a little bit. I mean, that is true to an extent, but they did lose to, I think, the best team in the NHL, and I think it's very Vegas is really good too in this playoff series, but it's hard to really look away at what the Avalanche have been able to do.
Right. The only game in that series that the Blues could have, maybe should have won, was the game where they got the help from, you know, Kadri getting the 5-minute major, mm-hmm. and they came back and tied the game on the power play. So, but then they ended up losing that game anyway in the third period. One thing about St. Louis is they didn't have David Perron, who was one of their best players in the regular season. He was out with the COVID protocol in the playoffs, which was unfortunate. And, yeah, just a ton of injuries for St. Louis in the regular season. I think the way they played the last month of the season was encouraging. And I do think, like, when the divisions reset next year, like, they're probably a safe bet to make the playoffs. But if they're trying to contend for the Cup, I think they need to retool a little bit. And back to Colorado, yeah, I've been on them all year, like a lot of people have, in a good way. I've been patient during their, you know, some of their struggles when they had guys missing from the lineup. But that's the bottom line right now. If any team out there would benefit from having a week of rest right now, it's the Avalanche, because they need Philip Grubauer healthy. Yeah. They need MacKinnon healthy. They need their secondary guys, like even Donskoy and Burakovsky. They need those guys to be fresh, especially with Kadri out for the big series against Vegas up until Game 7. I think Kadri could come back for Game 7 at the earliest with his suspension. So hopefully for them it even gets to that point, but that would be a killer to lose in six and not even have Kadri for a single game. But Colorado, the only thing that's going to hold that team back is if guys are missing from the lineup, because they're an absolute juggernaut on defense. They got an elite goalie in Grubauer, and their top line is as good as, you know, Tampa's or Boston's. Yep. Or Edmonton's or anybody out there.
And Cale Makar is maybe the best young defenseman in hockey. I mean, offensively, yeah. It is a show when the puck is on his stick. I don't know if there's a more exciting player outside of Connor McDavid than him with the puck in his head. It's a treat to watch, you know. But I do want to talk about some of the other first round series, but I would hate to move away from this Colorado Avalanche and Vegas Golden Knights series, because I think it's the matchup that the NHL really wanted. I think they probably, if they would have had it their way, had this another round deeper in the semifinal, but here they are in the quarterfinal. What are your predictions for the series? Do you think that just based on how deep Vegas is, that they're going to be able to roll four lines against Colorado, give them everything they can handle? And is this a tough draw for Vegas? I think this is a team that probably could also win a Stanley Cup this year, and getting the Avalanche in the second round is a really tough draw for them.
It is. There are two different series this round that really could be like conference final type things between the Colorado-Vegas series and then the Carolina-Tampa series. Both as good of second round series as you'll ever see, with teams that are sound defensively, high octane offensively, and have really strong goaltending options. So as far as Vegas, I was a little, like Carolina, it was a little underwhelming for me what they put forth in the first round. With Vegas, I worry about the games when they heavily outshoot their opponents. They're like 1-7 over the past two seasons when they have had 40 plus shots on goal in a game in the playoffs, which is like unthinkable. But they seem to be a little snake bitten in those spots. So obviously came through in a big way last night and finished off Minnesota like they probably should have, because this matchup seems like it has been something everybody has been looking forward to almost across the league for the entire season, for the second round. So it's going to happen. I think Colorado's offense is better than Vegas's. It was good to see Max Pacioretty come back though and score a goal last night. That kind of even the playing field a little bit, don't you think? So it's going to be a fun series. It's probably going to go 6 or 7. It's probably going to alternate a lot of wins and losses and, you know, bounce back spots. And we'll see if MacKinnon can keep going at this rate of productivity in the playoffs. He's like top 5 in NHL history in career playoff points per game. So we'll see if like the combination of Alex Pietrangelo and Marc-Andre Fleury, and of course, they could turn back to Robin Leonard. They didn't need to in the first round, but they certainly could if they need to in the second round. And he gives them just as good of a chance to win. So I think there are going to be a lot of ebbs and flows in this series. And I think it could be one of those series that we look back at as, you know, maybe something that took the league to a new level in terms of ratings in the playoffs for a non-Stanley Cup final matchup. It really could be that good. It has that type of ceiling.
So I want to get your thoughts before we move on to the I think Carolina-Tampa is another really interesting series. Before we do that, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Florida Panthers, because I think that was a team with some expectations that they would put up maybe a tougher fight against Tampa. Now, I mean, obviously getting Kucherov back for the playoff run, he's one of the best players in the NHL. That's just a tough draw for Florida, considering you're not playing the team that everyone else got to play in the regular season. But having said that, The Sergei Bobrovsky situation, Pete, is maybe one that it's hard to quite put into words how difficult of a spot his contract may put that organization, considering, you know, I just think that they've got the forward group, they've got the group on the defense, and if Sergei Bobrovsky's playing at his ceiling, that's a team that you could sell me on that could potentially be a Stanley Cup contender. But the fact of the matter is Bobrovsky, it's been a move that has not worked out. And listen, at the end of the day, if you would have asked me at the time they signed the contract at 30 years old, if paying him all that money was it the really smart move, I would have told you no way. But that was a team that was looking to make a move. They made it. And I think if you're going to look back now, it's hard to make the argument that paying goaltenders top of market ever really works out for anybody. I mean, Ben Bishop, you start to make these moves looking backwards, and almost all of them haven't worked out well for the team that has done it. So where are you, and how much are you concerned about the Sergei Bobrovsky contract potentially holding back the Panthers from maybe finding their potential as a team that really should be a deep playoff contender?
Well, I think it could hold them back past next season, no doubt. I mean, I think the big question for Florida is, like, what's going to happen with Alexander Barkov? And when you have their two best players right now for next season, let's say next season, they're going to get Aaron Ekblad back, who's an elite defenseman. They have Spencer Knight, who's, you know, a goalie prodigy, already got thrown into the fire and looked great in the playoffs and the regular season. So he's going to, like, be at the very least a 1B. To Bobrovsky, he might even be the starter as early as next year. So those are all good things. But you see the type of money that Huberto is making right now, 5.9 per season, and also the same for Barkov. But Barkov's contract expires UFA status after next season, and then Huberto UFA status after the following season. So all of a sudden, they've had a big, you know, season this year, coming past their expectations, and then, you know, still being a young team with an upward trajectory, but now you're looking at the next two seasons are going to have, you know, tremendous pressure on this team. So, yeah, I do think that as the time goes on, the Bob contract could hurt them even more. And it's tough for that team because they were trying to find relevance for years. Mm. They haven't won a playoff series since 1996, and they nearly did this year. They were the better team at 5-on-5 in the series, I would say, you know, outside of game number 6 where they got, you know, blown out a little bit. But definitely that team has something special brewing. I love some of their sneaky acquisitions, like over the past year, like Carter Verhaeghe and Sam Bennett and Patrick Hornquist. Like, they honestly, the Panthers might have beaten any other team in the league in the first round this year outside of Tampa and Colorado. I really believe that. So it was a really tough draw for them. But having Ekblad in that series, like, say if the teams were to meet again next year, Tampa and Florida, with Ekblad healthy, that series might go the other way. But, it was a tough draw to play Tampa with their big five healthy. Tampa might be stronger this season than they were last year when they won the Cup, Nate. So that's what we're looking at here with these Florida teams. The expectations and the performance is extremely high these days.
I think outside of, and we'll end up seeing, you know, Pete, who ends up winning that Toronto Montreal series. It's probably looking like Toronto, and I think Toronto Winnipeg will be a real treat for folks. But I find it hard to ignore the potential excitement level of a Carolina-Tampa series. I think, you know, ultimately, Carolina is maybe one of the most under-talked-about one seeds. I think they're a great team. They're well-coached. Yep. They've got young superstars. How excited are you to watch that series play out? And if you're asking me, or if I were to ask you which series you thought would go 7 games out of the ones that we're going to see here in the second round, is this maybe the one that maybe has that potential?
Well, I am picking Colorado over Vegas in 7, and I'm sticking with Carolina over Tampa, but it's going to be really tight. I think that Carolina is a better, more experienced, even better puck possession version of the Florida Panthers. They could play high scoring with you. They got goaltending options to turn to. They got 3 of them. Mrazek didn't even play in the playoffs so far. I mean, it's been the rookie Alex Nedeljkovic playing every game, which has been a little surprising, but he was outstanding in the regular season. So, and yeah, with Tampa, it's just like you know that their power play is going to be dangerous every single night. So limiting the damage there, making it more of a 5-on-5 game where Carolina can dominate the shot attempts and that sort of thing, that's the lay of the land if Carolina wants to win this series. But they are a better, more healthy version of the Florida Panthers. They can go toe-to-toe offensively with the Bolts, and they can definitely beat them in the series. So I'm really excited to watch this one. And, yeah, it's just like at the beginning of the season, you could have looked at the division layouts and said, all right, I think that there's a very good chance that the four best teams in the league would be Vegas, Colorado, Carolina, and Tampa, and they would all meet each other in the second round. So, and that's how it ended up happening. So it's kind of been on the forefront of everybody's minds from the very beginning this season, and that's the playoff matchups that we're going to be excited to watch here.
Pete, last thing for you here, and just kind of looking at the rest of the bracket. The least sexiest matchup to me is New York versus Boston. And I think it's probably more the Islanders' fault than it is Boston's fault. The Islanders just play a super boring brand of hockey, but it's also the brand of hockey that got them a 4-2 victory over the number one seed Penguins. So although it's boring, it's effective as hell. What are you expecting from that series? And, you know, ultimately, who do you think ends up bouncing out of that one?
So I give a slight edge to the Bruins. I think they got more scoring pop, especially after adding Taylor Hall with the second line being really strong these days. And, you know, Charlie McAvoy's playing at a ridiculous level. It's a good storyline with him going back to Long Island where he's from. So we look for him to continue to have his breakout postseason. And then, you know, I think, like, Tuukka Rask is better than Varlamov or Sorokin. The Islanders are not that far behind in that regard, but from the power play advantage with Boston, from the offensive advantage in terms of having, you know, bigger names and higher offensive ceilings, I just think there's a slight edge to the Bruins. But, I mean, we cover it on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, like the betting market and stuff like that. The Islanders continuously get no respect. I mean, it's because of that style, but that style translates well to the playoffs. That gives them a chance to beat anybody. They almost beat Tampa Bay last year. They've shut down Crosby. They've shut down Ovechkin. They've shut down Malkin over the years. You know, last year in the playoffs, they shut down the Flyers offense. They do this every year. They haven't met the Bruins yet. But they perform well against the Bruins in the regular season. So to see such big numbers in advance, you know, for the advantage in the Boston Bruins department, there's some serious value on the New York Islanders in the series because they could definitely win it. They close the gap in every area, and they'll be able to. So, and Barry Trotz, you can't really bet against that guy too much this time of year. You know, his style translates, and all those guys step up like every single year. Bailey, Nelson, Pageau, you know, Beauvillier, they all reach a new level in the playoffs every single year the past 3 years. So the Bruins are a little bit, I mean, they made quick work of the Capitals, but that is not a perfect team, and they could be vulnerable if the expectations and, you know, how big of a favorite they are gets overblown a little bit.
So the last thing I'll ask you, Pete, I want to bring it back to Buffalo for a second here, and I want to ask you, if you're Kevin Adams, who, and maybe you'll tell me that this is, it depends on what the situation is with if whether or not they trade Eichel / Reinhart or both. But who do you believe is the best head coach for this team moving forward, them that could get them out of this rut that they've been in?
Well, I mean, I'm definitely interested just to see where Gerard Gallant goes. I feel like he's been the best coach available for a while, and you know, you don't know where he's going. You know, there's the Seattle thing, there's the New York Rangers thing, obviously Buffalo probably with everything that's gone on a little bit less attractive than those spots right now. But I do think that, like, there is some appeal if Eichel is staying with some of the, you know, some of the options that have emerged down the stretch of the season. They look like a decent young team that has higher capabilities in the years to come. If they have to, I don't think it would be settling if they bring back Granato. I mean, he did an outstanding job, so, and it was a night and day difference from Kruger. So if you're playing off that, I mean, that's the safe choice. It's realistic, and I don't think it's a bad choice. So you know, obviously if they could get any of those teams, I would think would want Gallant to lead their group. But I liked what I saw from Granato, and I would be okay with seeing him coming back.
Yeah, I guess, especially if you're going the rebuild route, there is no – Granato's the guy. The way that he connected with Tage Thompson, Casey Mittelstadt, seeing Rasmus Asplund look like a legitimate NHL player, Arttu Ruotsalainen looking like a bona fide NHL player, like what he was able to get out of guys that this organization has been sort of pushing off getting in the lineup now for the better part of 2 years, that to me spoke to me a little bit, and I think I'm with you. I think I'd be 100% in on Granato. I could be sold on Gallant 100%. You know, I think Boudreau is a name that I think will just sort of be thrown out there because that's just, you know, he's got the pedigree, he's got the experience, but I it's hard to ignore a team with such youth and a team that's depending on that youth to get out of this rut that Granato isn't maybe the best possible fit for them. But Pete, thank you so much, man. Thanks again for making yourself available for me. I know it's a holiday weekend, so I appreciate you taking, you know, 20 or so minutes away from the family. Enjoy the long weekend, my friend. We'll be in short touch, I'm sure. And enjoy the rest of the playoffs, man. It should be a doozy.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to you again soon, and maybe we'll talk again before the expansion draft, because that's going to be something that becomes the big topic of conversation. It affects every team, and it affects your trade decisions before it and afterwards. So, you know, with Buffalo trying to get things on track, they're going to be a big topic of conversation with that looming as well. So looking forward to it, and have a great weekend, guys.
Sounds good, my friend. We appreciate it. Pete Jensen there of NHL Network. He's their fantasy hockey expert. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Jensen. Okay, I'm going to take a timeout here in just one moment. I've got David Pagnotta. He was on earlier this week with the fourth period. I'm sorry. He is with the fourth period. So we'll have that interview coming up over the next two segments for you. If you missed any of the show today, we had Ryan Talbot of New York upstairs. State, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, Matt Lombardo of Fan Sided, and we also had I've been doing this all day. Sean Stepner of ABC Baltimore. I figured it out, Corey. So
you
if you missed
it,
I did it. You know, hey, short-term memory loss, it's a doozy. I've taken a lot of shots, okay? Listen, and not like, you know, drinking shots. Like I've taken a lot of hits to the head over the course of my lifetime. So, some warranted, others not. But we will if you missed any of those interviews, all of them were great today. WGR550.com on demand audio. You can check us out there. Otherwise, enjoy the bettering weather. I'll call and we'll say great, but it's getting better, and try to enjoy your long weekend. But in the meantime, David Pagnotta of the fourth period coming up next year on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.